Greetings to each one this morning, in Jesus' name. How good it is to be here this morning. Amen. To hear the testimonies, I would have enjoyed to just keep going. I thank God that He is continuously wooing His children to Himself. We heard the expression this morning many times, God touched me. God touched my heart. We know it takes more than just going to church for God to touch our heart. It's about a relationship. It's about opening our heart, as Brother Moe shared. Appreciated those thoughts. Can we fall on our knees this morning before we begin? Seek the Lord together. Father in heaven, we do come before you this morning. Thou great Jehovah, Thou almighty One, the all-seeing eyes, that's roaming to and fro, seeking for a heart that is right, seeking for hearts that are open that you can enter in. Father, we bless you this morning. Thank you for the church here, for the brothers and sisters. Thank you, Father, for giving us a weekend of meetings where our hearts can be touched again. Father, we trust that you will touch us again this morning, Lord. We don't just want to have a revival meeting, Lord. That's the only time you can touch us. But, oh, Father, would you touch us again this morning, Lord? Father, we pray for each one that has come. Bless the visitors, Lord. Father, would you speak through your servant? Anoint the lips of your servant this morning, God. Father, we also pray that you would anoint the ears. Lord, that we would hear those things that you want us to hear this morning. Father, I pray this morning that you would stay the lips of your servant for the things that should not be said. And Father, loosen my tongue where I should speak the things that I should say, Lord. Father, I commit the time into your hands. Father, you are the Lord of all. Father, I'm only a weak, trembling servant before you, Lord. And I trust my lips, my mouth, Lord. My feet, my hands, Lord. I trust into your hands this morning. Just pray that you would take control, Lord. Father, let your church, let your children be edified this morning, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I prepared for a message, I had a message on my heart for some time, and Brother Rick asked me to share this morning on the main message. I had struggled with the message for an opening, and it seemed fitting that God would have me to share it on a main message this morning. It's a message that is somewhat difficult for me to share on. As I was wrestling with it, I wanted to turn aside and find some other message. But God didn't give me that liberty. And so I want to be obedient to what God has for us this morning. It's a message that comes down very close to our very personal lives. It's something that we all have to do with. And if I could just add here this morning, I'm not speaking on anyone specifically, but I'm speaking to all of us. It's a message of admonishment, a message that we look at ourselves and not look across the room and think, that's for that brother. And you look across the room and say, that's for that sister. But the message is for me, and it's for each one of us. The message that I titled it, Being Partial or Being Critical. Being partial or being critical. It's a message that I do not want to bring in a condemning way at all, but I know that we're real people, and I know that we all have to do with it in some shape or form. I would just like to lift it up this morning for us to see that we could all grow thereby. As we shared this morning, as I've heard different testimonies, were so beautiful, is on brokenness. You know, at the foot of the cross, it's level, isn't it? At the foot of the cross, it's level. But when we wander away from the cross, sometimes it gets a little bumpy. Sometimes we're taller than we think we are, and sometimes things don't come out right if we wander away from the cross. For our text this morning, turn with me to James chapter 2. It is a doctrine in the Bible that Christ speaks about. It's not just my own words. I would like to look at the second chapter in James for an opening scripture here. I would like to just also add that I trust that our hearts are open this morning. You know, it's a message that I'm not pointing the finger at a certain one, because we're all in this together. Chapter 2, James. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourself, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. I think we'll stop reading there. If we notice that respect, if ye have respect to persons, he's talking about partial, being partial. It would sound like if we would have respect to persons, that would be a good thing. But that respect, he's talking about being partial, about honoring one and despising another one. Again, I just would plead with you this morning that I could share my heart. I do love all of you. I want all of us to be strengthened. I'm not preaching a sermon of condemnation, but just bringing this before us that we can see, I trust, the heart of God. We know that our fallen nature, we tend to gravitate to something of high esteem, don't we? Our fallen nature doesn't want to be in a category with the lowly. But our hearts want to be in a place of honor. And so what do we do sometimes is we tend to be partial with people in hopes that maybe we can arrive on their plateau or on their level, if I can say it that way. Definition of partial is biased or prejudiced in favor of one person, group, or side. You know, it's so easy for us as parents, isn't it? If I can speak to us as fathers and mothers, it's pretty hard for us when someone comes to us with a fault about our children. What do we tend to do? Are we quickly to say, yeah, you're right, that's right? Or are we quick to say, well, I don't think you're seeing it right. My children aren't that way. We're partial to our children. And some of that is okay, but I would say, be careful. Be careful. Partiality is not right before God. Partiality divides. And this subject is something that we need to look at. It's a heart issue, isn't it? We can sit here this morning. Many of you can think of situations where you think, well, I'm guilty of that, but I know my brother, he's guilty of the other one. But it's a heart issue. As we look through this, let's continue to look at our heart. What is our heart? How is our heart towards those of low degree? You know, when Christ talks about the one that comes in gay clothing, He's talking about a one that is held in high esteem, high respect for them. And He's also talking here about the one that comes in a vile raiment, the one that is lowly, that is looked down upon. Do we make ourselves a difference? How do we look at this? Do we have a wide, you know, as something that, if I could just share briefly, it's been some years that it seems I've noticed some of this weakness among our circles, not just here at Ephrata, but I think across our circles. I've noticed this area of weakness. It seems like there's been, can I say it, different ranks? I don't want to sound critical, but it seemed like sometimes there seems to be an air of different ranks. I don't think we want that, do we? Again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against respecting each other. The Bible is clear on respecting our elders, giving them double honor. I'm not against that. But again, let's look at our heart. What is our heart? What motivates us? What makes us do the things that we do? We'll come to the critical side later. I'm looking more on the partial side at this time. I'm so grateful for my brothers. And I believe I can honestly say from the bottom of my heart, I love all of you and my sisters. We all know that we're not all on the same page. We're not all at the same place in our spiritual life. But does that make us hold one here and hold one here and hold one here in our hearts? Again, let's look at our hearts. Let's look at verse 9. It says, "But if ye have partiality to persons..." What does it say? Ye commit sin. Ye commit sin. If we could just all see the beauty of flowing together, and I believe that's all of our desire this morning, that we would lift each other up, that we would all take a hold of each other and we would go together. Isn't that our heart this morning? Isn't that our heart? We don't want some straggling one behind and he feels he can't reach it. He feels he doesn't know the way. We need to take hold of those. We need to help them along. Again, I'm not excusing someone that's walking in sin, walking in something that we need to discipline them. There's sometimes situations where people can feel like they're an outcast because they've been disciplined. I'm not talking about that. Again, let's look at our hearts. How do we see them in the sight of God? How did Christ come? He reached out to the lowly. He reached out to that Samaritan woman at the well who had 5 husbands. If we notice there in verse 5, it says, "Hearken." Hearken, my beloved ones. That hearken means pay attention. Listen. Listen very carefully. I want your attention. You know, sometimes our children, when we say something, they're not paying attention. We may have to say, "Children, listen." And all their heads come up and they listen. I have something to tell you. That word hearken is a word of urgency. I need you to listen to this. "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" Sometime, you know, I've seen a brother, a very godly man. He's very poor financially, but he's rich in faith. He trusts God. You know, I've talked with, and he's a minister in another community. He's had some financial struggles. And he said he would pray to God that God would just open the way for him and give him another, you know, give him some means by which to go on. And God would continue to do that. But you know, sometimes for us, if we're so financially equipped, we lose that. We can lose that. We can lose that dependency upon God, that we need God. We need to continually keep our hearts turned to God, even if prosperity comes our way. Verse 9, where it says, "Ye commit sin." And when we do that, when we have partiality, when we're partial, did you know there's another thing that happens many times? People get hurt. Some people get hurt. And some of these things can't be helped. I can't balance all of this in one message, by no means. And I hope you hear my heart. But if God is teaching us that we love our brothers alike, that we are not partial with them, when something comes our way, or against my child, or against my wife, or against my husband, that we would look at God's Word that we would allow God to speak to us and not become, "Don't touch me, that's my husband or that's my wife. You can't talk about her. That's partial." Are we free from that this morning? I don't think I am. Is there anyone here that can say, "I'm completely free from that"? But I desire to go on. I desire that we would have that Spirit of God in us, the love of the brethren, that we would not become so partial, you know, that we would be so divided, that we would become so partial in our dealings. I've seen that happen in my younger years in the Christian life. I've seen this happen where, and I think us as ministers, we have a great potential to do these things. And I think it's needful that we as ministers, especially, we need to always guard our heart. We need to guard our heart. And we may be accused of being partial. That may very well be. But the truth of the matter lies between us and God. Is our heart free? You know, life is not fair. Life is not fair. You know, if you think that, you know, "I don't get treated like my other brother does," you know, life is not fair. We will never come to a place where we can say, "I was treated the same way as my other brothers." But can't we say God is good? That God is good? As different ones shared this morning, God brings those things along our way that we need. And sometimes it's through a flat spot of a brother. And he doesn't see a situation and he does a thing, maybe he deals with us in a way that we say, "Boy, I don't see that. You know, Brother Steve shared that this morning. You know, he couldn't see his error. But bless God, God showed him his error." And we can go on. I don't know whether Steve struggled with us being partial with him or not. He didn't share that. But that's the weakness of a human flesh, is when things come our way, we think, "Well, he's being partial." But let us beware. I'm not speaking to us as ministers alone. I'm speaking to all of us. We can all be caught with this. Sometimes we can have glitches. You know, in some of those things I've noticed, you know, sometimes there are glitches among our youth, among our circles. You know, and bless God for friends. I'm not against that. But when no one else can enter that little glitch, that's when it becomes wrong. When we are so glickish, when we are so partial with our friend that no one dare enter that circle. My dear young people, let us not do that. Let us not do that. God loves us all. He wants us all to blend our hearts together. But I trust that we have the love of God in our hearts this morning, that we desire the love of the truth to reign in our inward parts. I trust that's our heart this morning. But this issue is something deeper than the outside. It's a matter of the heart. It's a heart issue. My brothers and my sisters, it's a heart issue. Do we see that? Do we see it's a heart issue? That we truly love one like the other? You know, sometimes we can draw conclusions. And I think many of us do. We draw conclusions And sometimes we may be off. We may be off. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it?" Our hearts don't always discern right. But yet again, I think if we have a walk with God and our hearts are free from partiality and our hearts are free towards brothers, I think we have that gift of discernment. We can discern things. We can discern things that are wrong. We may not always be right on target. But God gives us grace. God gives us wisdom. God works all those things out. But let us not be partial in our judgment. Sometimes there are situations that come up that we don't understand. So God just asks us to lay at His feet. Lay the situation at your feet. At Christ's feet. You know, sometimes God takes us through a trial that we get judged wrongly, maybe. Maybe something is coming our way and we're free, absolutely free from what we're being accused of. But let us lay it at Christ's feet. Let God vindicate you. If you're truly free, God will vindicate you. There's times, you know, in my life when that happened to me. And sometimes very seriously. And I finally came to the place where I said, "Lord, I can't do anything more. I can't chase this down. I can't run fast enough to try to stop all these rumors." And God, in His infinite wisdom, knows how to vindicate all that. And we can rejoice, knowing that God is on our side, if our hearts are free, if our hearts are true and pure before Him. Again, let's look at our hearts. How do we see? How do we see our brother? How do we see our sister? Turn with me to John. There's a couple of verses there. If we could look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." But judge righteous judgment. You know, sometimes we judge wrongly. But Christ tells us to judge righteously. Can we judge righteously if there's partiality in our hearts? I don't think we can. I don't think we can. And would God help all of us this morning that we would look at this principle of being free with everyone and judge righteously. Because who do we want to hurt in the church? Maybe sometimes it's a matter of a conflict between a brother and a brother. That there's some animosity comes up. And we become critical. We're not partial with him now, we're critical. And so we can't judge righteously, can we? Matthew 7:2 says, if you turn back with me in the same chapter, the first part of the chapter. Well, I'm sorry, it's Matthew. Matthew 7:2. Just back up with me to Matthew. He starts out, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Does that mean we shouldn't judge each other? I don't think that's what He's saying. He's telling us to not be partial. Because we can read in other places that we're supposed to judge. We're supposed to discern. We're called to discern. But we're not called to make a partial judgment or a judgment that is not correct. And again, this is, I think, talking about the critical side. If we become critical of our brother and we judge him critically, that's the way God will judge us. God will judge us that way. With what measure ye meet, that it will be measured to you again. And he goes on to talk about the mote that is in our brother's eye. And we're very critical. We go about, we see a little splinter in our brother's eye, and we try to go and help him get his splinter out. But at the same time, he has a large, maybe a huge area in his life that he needs to look at. And he's trying to go and pick this little splinter out of his brother's eye. But Christ tells us, first, get the beam out of your own eye. Then you can go and help your brother. Before that, you're not able to. You're not able to because you have such a big beam in your eye, you can't even see clear. That God would give us wisdom how to judge righteously. We're called to discern. We're called to judge within ourselves. We shouldn't take a fault of our brother to the law. That's not right. We need to discern. We need to look among ourselves. We need to make righteous judgment according to the Word of God. See, we have the Word of God. It's so complete and so full. We can judge ourselves. We can judge others by the Word of God. There's so much in this, the attitude of the heart. The attitude of our heart. How do we see ourselves? How does our heart respond? Is our heart free towards our brother, towards our sister? Or is there animosity? Is there some animosity? Is there some evil thoughts against your brother or your sister? Or can you truthfully look into the eyes of Jesus and say, I have no grudge. I have no bitter feelings. I have no evil thoughts in my heart against my brother or against my sister. Can we truly say that this morning? Allow God to speak to your heart. Without that, my brothers and my sisters, we will not get anywhere. Because this is the heart of the matter. You know, I can't dialogue all this between, you know, what's happened. You know, many of you can think of situations. Yeah, this brother was not very nice to me, and I think he was partial there, and he did wrong. And a sister can say, yeah, you know, she wasn't very nice to me, and she was partial with me, or she was critical with me, or, you know, all these things. We can't go there. But we need to look to God and have our own hearts. Without us looking inward in our own hearts this morning, we won't get anywhere. We cannot judge correctly if we have that critical spirit toward our brother. You know, when we have that critical spirit, things don't come out the way they should. Some of us may be quick to express ourselves. And maybe sometimes it doesn't come out right. But you know, we have that grace from God that we can go back and say, you know, brother, I didn't respond right. And ask for forgiveness. And God wipes it all away. God wipes it all away. We We have a Father that understands our infirmities. Some of us are quick to express ourselves. If we consider the life of Joseph, his brothers, how did they do? Genesis 37 verse 18, when they saw him afar off, the Bible tells us they conspired. They conspired against him to slay him. They were critical. See, Joseph had done things to them that they were critical about Joseph. And Joseph had good intentions. He was coming to look after them. But they were critical about him. And they plotted against him to get rid of him. Let's see what happens with his dreams. We know the story. How everything turned out for the good of Joseph's life. And we can do the same thing. We may see a brother that we're critical about, and he'll never be able to do anything right. My brothers and my sisters, let's not have that attitude. If I could just admonish us this morning, let's please not have that attitude. It's a matter of the heart, that we have a heart of love flowing one toward another. If we do those things, we will only hurt one person, and that's ourself. We will not hurt the other one, but we'll hurt ourself. Well, if I could just spend a few minutes in Matthew 25. In closing, if you turn with me to Matthew 25. I think we can tie this in at the close of the message here. We start in 35. It says, "For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." If we can tie this in with, you know, as I shared at the beginning, so many times, we as Christians, because of our fallen nature, we would much rather do some lofty thing. But when it comes to a lowly task, when it comes to something very lowly, that we're afraid nobody's even going to notice it, maybe we tend to draw back and think, well, because it's, you know, it's so lowly. The Bible teaches us that if we give a drink of cold water, it'll be rewarded to us. But here, if we notice the context here, he's speaking about us reaching down, not being critical. Not being partial. But he's looking to us that we would look to those of low esteem, of low degree. The poor beggar along the road. The man that fell by the thieves, that was robbed by the thieves there on the way to Jericho. You know, the first two there, they passed by. He was just a dirty man along the road, half dead. And here the Samaritan, looked down by many of the others, he left his ass And he went down and he ministered to him. He ministered to him. I don't think he was concerned about what people thought. How is it with us? You know, sometimes I fear that many of us are caught with this stigma of, well, if I help this certain person, maybe of low degree, or maybe someone that is not respected, what will they think of me? What will they think of me? And again, I hope you understand my heart. I'm not speaking about not doing good. We need to do good to everyone. But it seems like the challenge comes when we face one of the least of my brethren. One of the least. Can we just go and be a servant to one of the least? Have you experienced that blessing when you reached out to someone that no one noticed and you did them a service? You blessed them in a quiet way and you received the blessing? It's like God gives a special blessing to that. We used to have a neighbor years ago that he would be quick to tell all the good that he'd done. He was very vocal. He would share all the good things that he'd done. Did you know that his reward is past already? He will not receive a reward. He's got his reward. But if we do things in secret, and again, don't stop doing good because you're afraid someone's going to see you doing good. I'm not speaking about that. Again, it's the heart. Is our heart true? Is our heart free? Is our heart motivated to do it as unto the Lord? Or are we doing it so that maybe we can receive some honor in return? Some thought-provoking questions for us. And we need to search our heart. Truly search our heart. That God would be able to use us in His kingdom. If we read on in this verse, in this chapter here, verse 41 and on, we can talk about the one that did all these good things. And he came to Jesus on judgment day and he said, "Didn't I do all these good things? Didn't I feed the sick? Didn't I visit the poor? Didn't I go to prison? Didn't I do all these good things?" And Jesus tells them, "I never knew you." Why? Why didn't he know them? Because their hearts were not right. They were doing it out of a selfish motivation. They were doing it to be seen of men. And if we're truly right with God, God shows us that error. We can repent. We can turn from those things. We can cry out to God for deliverance from those things. But again, let's search our heart. Where am I at? Is my heart free? Is my heart truly right? Or do I have a critical, judgmental spirit where I'm looking at every move that my brother makes and I'm being critical? Let's check our hearts this morning. Can we do that? Do we have that freedom? Yes, we do. We have that liberty in Christ. God, He is so patient with us. Isn't He? Isn't God patient with us? Many times, you know, we all fall short. But may God give us wisdom and grace, how to truly search our heart, to evaluate, to see where am I at? How do I look at my brother, my sister? that the love of Christ would flow. Well, may God give us grace to do this. I don't feel like there's a... I'm not sure how to say it. I know there is a need among us in this area, yet I don't do it in a way that I feel like we're way off the wall here. It's just a time of searching our hearts, truly seeking where we are, that God doesn't condemn us with our unrighteous judgment. Well, may God add His blessing to the message. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Brother Vernon. And the need is always for us to, you know, the Bible's so full of so many things that we need to continuously learn and re-examine our heart and see where we're at. And this was one of those mornings where we need to examine ourselves with partiality. Whether we're partial one with another. Whether we give each other the same opportunity to be a brother, to be a sister in our lives, in the church here that is walking with the Lord. All right, if you'd like to open it up at this time, you have the microphones back there. If anyone would like to share, we also would want to give opportunity for someone yet to share a testimony that's been born again this morning. If you want to take the microphone at your seat and just share where you didn't get opportunity this morning, take that opportunity too, if you would care to. We didn't get around this morning, so just raise your hand to anyone. Yeah, up here, Ernie, I think, had his hand up.
I think this message touches close on something that I have had to deal with in my life, an area of maybe bitterness or something like that. I used to think that I didn't get bitter about anything. I never had these feelings if someone wronged me in some way of, you know, all kinds of things that you'd hope for them to go wrong in their life or whatever. I don't know how many forms bitterness takes. But there is another form where, in my own testimony, was that I didn't get bitter, but I would remember that and have a label on that person for that thing, mm-hmm. and not trust them in that area again. And I came to see that that's, I guess, just another form of bitterness and, mm-hmm. and of being critical towards someone in their life, and it might not be what we normally think of as bitterness, but it is, and it's a keeping record of wrongs, and it is and that's not love. And that was something that I was thinking of during the message, and I don't want to walk in that at all. And mm-hmm. God has been good in opening my eyes to that, and then I am able to be clear in that area, but for a while I didn't see it right. And I think it's something that goes close along with the message, that we don't keep a record of what people have done.
Amen.
It's just not good. It's the same thing as bitterness. And I think the fruits in our life, in our own heart, are going to be the same.
So, yeah, we usually say, don't carry a little black book along with all the things written down that people have done against you. Some have done that. Anyone else? Okay, back here beside you, Gary. Elena?
I would just like to share that the Lord has really worked a wonderful work in our life. We came here from Texas. We arrived last Saturday. And I knew I had some problems that needed to be dealt with. And the Lord graciously opened my heart on Saturday and revealed some hurting areas that needed to be healed. And Friday morning, we had a counseling session with Mal and Barbie. And they helped me through to gain victory over them, to be healed. And I just want to praise the Lord for everything that He's done. He's been so very good to me. And now I can feel His joy again, which I hadn't for a while. And I just want to praise Him for that.
Amen. Couple is requesting baptism at some time in the future in Seminole, Texas, where they live. So you pray for them that that may be a testimony to the and hopes of starting work in many others there in that area. All right, anyone else? Yes.
Well, I thank God for that message this morning. It was very timely for my own heart. You know, sometimes we can get an attitude, especially us as young people, as he mentioned about discrimination. And, you know, sometimes we can feel like, well, we're being discriminated against. We're not in the in-group. But when we do that, we have to realize in our hearts we're discriminating against that person. And, you know, I fell prey to that in my life. Mm-hmm. In the past, and I thank God for that message this morning.
Yes.
God has been, I've been reading through James this week. It's very interesting that he preached it, but God has been showing me those same things this week as I was reading through here. And the one verse that he didn't read was James 2, verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He mentioned that, you know. The key to this whole thing is, do we have the love of Christ in our heart? Or do we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts? Like it says in chapter 3 there, it says, do you have bitter envying and strife? Glory not and lie not against the truth. You know,
yes.
I think it's a choice we make to be honest with our hearts. Mm-hmm. Are we harboring those feelings in our hearts? Or are we allowing God to let His love flow through our hearts to one another? And I just thank God for the message it has spoken mm-hmm. to me. And I want to grow and become more like Him in these areas.
I also had to think of the proverb that one that hath friends must show himself friendly. I think so many times in partiality, the individual is waiting on people to come to him or her, and then they sit there and say they don't like me, nobody reaches out to me, but it's because they don't have the friendliness to reach out to others, and then they sit there and pity themselves and think that they're in a rejected class of some kind. So I think we need to be careful there, that we see that we've done our part to be friendly and to reach out to make communication with people. Over here in the back.
I just want to say something. Scripture that comes to mind to me, I've been thinking about this too, and I think it correlates a lot with what Vernon shared. Something along the lines, it might be a little misquoted here, but a bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering wick or flax I will not extinguish or put out.
Quench.
Mm-hmm. I think that for me, and for all of us here, part of the challenge of this message is that a smoldering wick is very unpleasant. It will get smoke in your eyes. It stinks. It's annoying. The temptation is to simply blow the thing out. If it's just sitting there smoldering, not really doing a whole lot of good, it's making a mess on your ceiling. If we're talking about a wick or a kerosene mm-hmm. wick or whatever, kind of can be a threat, you know, a danger, or appear to be a danger. Bruised reed, I'm not sure what all they use those things for, but it's my understanding that they kind of culled out the reeds which were used for different things. When they got a weak one, a bruised one, they would go ahead and break it. That way it couldn't be used and mistaken to be a good mm-hmm. one. I was at a chicken farm one day, and they were talking about culling out the different chickens, and I guess that's part of business. It's part of what has to happen, I suppose. But here in our fellowship and in our walk, we are called to a different thing with one another. I have been a bruised reed, I have been a smoldering wick, and I have been among those who are bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. And it seems to me that if Christ was to exercise the same judgment against me that I have at times exercised against others, and seen others exercise against other weak or similarly bruised reeds, I would not be standing here. I would be well extinguished. I have been at places in my life where I had very little support, very little help, and I was a obnoxious person who was difficult to be around. Some might feel similarly today, but I can assure you I've been a lot worse off in my past, and I've been around others who I wanted to leave the company of or reject or cast aside or judge. And there's a place for judging sin, certainly. And there's a place for the church to judge a person. But I don't think that we as individuals are given the prerogative to say, well, that person gets smoke in my eyes, or that person is weak. I don't think he should be around here. I don't think he should last because he's not strong enough and he's not benefiting everybody else enough to stick around. And I think there's probably a lot of us here who wouldn't be here if somebody hadn't had compassion, Christ in particular, but Christ through another brother, hadn't had compassion. I know for my part that there was a fellow who had compassion on me in my state of unregenerate sin and being very impolite and disrespectful person that I used to be. And he had mercy on me, and it's largely because of that that I came to see myself for what I was and my need for change. And the Lord, of course, was doing that. I just want to encourage all of us to be mindful of that verse along with, I guess, what Vernon said. Have the heart of Christ. And if we don't, we should be honest with ourselves and say, hey, we're wrong. Not just the bruised reed and the smoldering wick, but we who want to put that thing out and cull that thing out. Our hearts are wrong, and we might get culled too.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.